Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling. Dark past has torn us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new day begun, let us march on till victory. By thy mind, let us into the light. Keep us forever in the path we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places our God where we met thee. Lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. Let us march on to victory, march on to victory.
We'll pour to the Creative Spirit the great Ashe out of which we all emerge. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to that Creative Spirit by whatever name we know it, whatever name you hold in your heart, in your mind, whatever name your ancestors gave, whatever name you learned as a child, whatever name you believe it to be, whatever name you believe it to be in spirit or in science. Ashe.
Okay.
We pour to the first human beings who came into existence on this planet, the first human beings who raised the first structures, who cooked the first meals, who taught the first children, who had the first children, the first Africans, the first people who stood upright, who walked, who figured out how to stay on this planet, who figured out how to pass that knowledge on to their children and their children's children, the mothers and fathers of civilization. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour the next libation to their grandchildren, their children's children, those who raised the great early civilizations of Kemet and Kush and Monomotapa, the great medieval civilizations of Ghana and Mali and Songhai and Kanem-Bornu. We pour to those who great the great civilizations of the Igbo people and the Hausa people and the Kikongo people and the Mbara people, the great Mande civilizations, the great Kikongo, the great civilizations of Southern Africa, the Bantu people, the great civilizations of Southeast Africa, the Dinka, the Shilluk, the Nuer. We pour to those millions who raised the foundations from which the world would learn what it meant to be human in the world, I say. We pour to their children who, upon the arrival on the shores of people they had never seen before, found themselves captured and marched overland, found themselves perishing by the millions before they were held on the holding cells and the open-air pens on the coast of West, Central, Southern, and East Africa. We pour to the ancestors who did not know, as they were stripped of all clothing and sent denuded into boats, packed like animals and strewn their bones across the floor of the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. We pour to them who in the last moment on Africa grabbed the sand and grabbed the dirt and put it in their mouths and understood that the only thing they might have to preserve their place in that continent was their memory of that place and their ability to pass it on to their children. We pour to them. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to those Africans and their children who, finding themselves cast adrift in Santiago, Cuba, who found themselves cast adrift in Porto, Spain, Trinidad, and Port-au-Prince, Haiti, who found themselves cast adrift in New Orleans and Charleston and Mobile, who found themselves cast adrift in Salvador, Bahia, who found themselves cast adrift in Barbados and the archipelago that formed the Wayward and the Windward Coast. We found them in these places learning Portuguese and Spanish and French, whose often first words was, "Oh my God," or "Madre de Dios," who found themselves praying to survive and pass on to their children the memories. We pour to those ancestors who are represented in the thousands buried in all the square miles of where we stand and who sit here buried before us in 400 caskets forged of wood from West Africa with Adinkra symbols. Each one of them, each woman, man, and child, symbolic of millions. The children of those who could not be killed, we pour, Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who somehow survived the hells of enslavement and fought for emancipation in the Caribbean, the French, British, Dutch Caribbean, who fought for emancipation in South America, who fought for emancipation in Central America, who fought the struggles we refer to as the Civil War in the United States, who came out of that, marched out of enslavement through Reconstruction, and found themselves making great migrations, eventually ending up in places like New York. Their children's children, who making a way for themselves became our great-great-grandparents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our parents. Those who, when the first bones were discovered in this space, held their hands and said, "Stop! No more! We are here to speak for those who can no longer speak with their mouths." We pour for those ancestors, some of whom came to Howard University in 2004 and followed these caskets all the way back to New York. We pray to the great ancestors, the ones whose names we know and the ones whose names we don't. And at this moment, as we pour this libation, I would ask anyone who feels comfortable to say the name of someone in your bloodline who is no longer physically here, but who you know made it possible for you to be here. Go ahead, let's hear the names. Haywood Carr.
Porter Griffin.
Thomas Lee Jr.
Evelyn Glover.
Harry Wheeler.
We pour to the names that we hold collectively. Ganga Zumba in Brazil. Toussaint Louverture, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, and Henri Christophe in Haiti. We pour to the great Avengers, Nanny of the Maroons of Jamaica. We pour to the great ancestors, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass. Say the names that you study. Who are the names of the ancestors that you have come to hold in your heart and your mind as you hope that you can do what they did for us, for your children and children's children? Let's say some of those famous names.
Malcolm X,
John Henry Clark, John Dr. Jackson, Muhammad. Jacob Carruthers. And finally, two final libations. We pour to those who make it possible for us to do what we do. We pour to these rangers who stand guardian over this sacred space. We pour to these Africans and these folks who have come from Howard University, the staff, the faculty, the administrators who brought us here today to bear witness. This is not a libation, but an affirmation, because their hearts still beat, their tongues still speak, their minds still think, and their minds still wish the best for us. We pour for all of those people who surrounded us on this journey today and made it possible for us to be here. We pour this affirmation of thanks, Ashe.
Ashe.
And finally, we pour to your children's children's children who will one day stand on this space and speak your name. Ashe.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it! Look!
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it!
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, chicken, turkeys. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it!
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, greens.
This piece is called Dancing for Life. Shifting, I broke my sugar habit. I ran from cakes and pies. I chose to savor cabbage and greens. I ran to yams, beets, and beans. Shifting made me healthy. Shifting set me free. Shifting gave me restful nights. Shifting brought me new delights. Now I have dancing fame. Truly, motion is my name. Truly, watch my fire. Feel my energy flow. See me move, slide, soar, and glide. I am perpetual grace, a high-flying bird, an earth-free eagle, a hummingbird. I am vigor personified, a pocket full of zestful angels, making me swing, twirl, and swirl as I dance, as I dance.
You are listening to Elders of Sankofa with host the Elders. The Elders of Sankofa radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at Sankofa_think@out.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome.
Hello, family. Welcome. This is Kwasi Malimo. Just welcome you all to this show. And I just want to give a special thanks to Dr. Juliet Martin Thomas for her poem, Dancing for Life. Today's host will be myself, Kwasi Malimo, and Dr. Jamie James. And today's topic is going to be Live to Eat and Eat to Live. And with that, we have our Sankofa sister, Dee Dee Conley, and she's going to go with our ancestral profile.
Thank you so much, Brother Stacy. Thank you. I'm going to go with our profile today, and it's going to be James Hemings. James Hemings was born into slavery to Betty Hemings, who was a mixed race daughter of Susanna, an enslaved African mother, and John Hemings, an English sea captain father. James was the second of six children by his, James was the six children by the master James Wells, who took Betty as his concubine after he was widowed for the third time. They had a relationship for 12 years until his death, and he had a shadow family of six children with her. They were three quarters European ancestry. Betty had four older children by another man. Wives died in 1773, leaving Betty and the 10 children to her daughter Martha Jefferson, half sister to the children by Betty. Martha was then married to Thomas Jefferson, who also inherited them by marriage. In 1784, Thomas Jefferson took James Hemings with him when he went to Paris. Paris as minister of France, as he wanted the young man then 19 trained as a chef. While they were in France, Jefferson paid Hemings a wage of $4 per month. Hemings studied cooking, pastries, and then he was a chef, and he studied other specialties. He paid personally to learn the language of French. He got him a tutor. He earned the role of chef de cuisine in Jefferson's kitchen. He served his creations to the people that Jefferson had invited to dinner. James Hemings, 1765 to 1881, was the first American to train as a chef in France. He was African American born in Virginia in 1765. At 8 years old, he became Thomas Jefferson's slave through the inheritance. He was an older brother of Sally Hemings and a half siblings of Jefferson's wife, Martha. Jefferson, with whom he shared Wales as a father as a young man, Hemings was selected by Jefferson to accompany him to Paris when he was appointed minister to France. There, Hemings was trained to be a French chef independently. He took lessons to learn how to speak French language. He returned to the United States with Jefferson, likely because of kinship ties with his large Hemings family. Jefferson continued to pay Hemings wages as a chef. When he worked for Jefferson in Philadelphia, Hemings negotiated with Jefferson for his freedom, which he gained in 1796. After training his brother Peter for 3 years to replace him as a chef, said to suffer from alcoholism. Hemings killed himself at the age of 36. That was very sad. And I believe later on November 9th, 1881, Jefferson wrote from Washington, D.C. to James Dismore, the Irish joiner. He had wrote that it was such a tragic end how James Hemings' life ended, that he had shot himself. So sad. Thank you, Brother Quasi.
Thank you, Sister Dee Dee. You know, the purpose of this organization, the St. Council Council, is to use African principles to unify the cooperation to create a healing and environment for our community. Now, this show that we're having tonight, Live to Eat, Eat to Live. Now, the Sankofa elders and guests will discuss the role food has played historically for our survival, substance, healing, entertainment, and recreation. Now, the African ancestry, Maya principles of harmony, the Nguru Saba principle, Kuvajaj Leon, are important concepts for our survival. Now, our guests, Dr. Sakia Courtney and Tyler Brown, both guests are known for their culinary skills and contributions to the community through food. Our Maya principles, the harmony, the state of being in which different expressions, Mother Nature, spirit, humans, animals, plants, etc., move together in ways that create alignment and beauty. Each expression must be authentic and express fully all that is created to be. All that it is created to be. It is only through authenticity that harmony can truly be achieved and occur naturally when each entity is being true to itself or to a spiritual reality. Kujujagliam, self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, and create for ourselves and speak for ourselves. And so I'm going to start with Dr. Zakia Courtney. I'm going to introduce her. I'm going to read her bio, give you some information on her. She's a retired educator, cultural and spiritual activist, a vegan chef owner, a vegan soul, an avid gardener, a herbal apprentice, and education consultant. She has received many local and national awards and accolades for her work, but she considers herself, her best word is her family. She has been married to Tony Courtney for 42 years, mother of an extended blended family of 15, grandmother of 52, and a great-grandmother of 20. Her guest in education, her quest in education began as a parent at Urban Day School, where she ultimately became the executive director. She served as the executive director of Parents School Choice and Advocacy, a group responsible for the organization of parents, supporting the expansion of the Vulture program and eligible parents. These efforts became models across the country. Courtney was given presentations all over the country, including a meeting with President Bush at the White House to discuss school choice. She was also a founding board member of a national organization, BAEL, Black Alliance for Education. Dr. Zakia is also considered an expert in Kwanzaa. She's performed the largest, and she's been doing that for 45 years, and she's performed the largest Kwanzaa celebrations in Milwaukee's history, including like 2,500 at North Division High School, a population of about 4,000 at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Nikki also worked as a designer and developer for director at Marquette University with Dr. Howard Fuller for 7 years. She also taught classes at MATC for students on academic suspension. She is a graduate at Averno College. She double degree in professionalism. Some of her mottos: obstacles are what you see, and when you take your eyes off the prize, it is better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. Our second guest is Tyler Marie Brown. She grew up in Milwaukee's low-income housing project, formerly known as Highland Park. Tyler has been cooking for as long as she can remember. This and other life experience assisted her in teaching how to cook delicious meals on a shoestring budget. We have plenty of spare to share. Through experience, she also learned the importance of motivation to those struggling to overcome obstacles. Ms. Brown earned a bachelor's of science degree from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She hosted the first motivational cooking show in the nation, Cooking Simply for the Soul, on channels 10, 36, and 550. Now, Cooking Simply for the Soul was one of the highest rated locally produced show on channels 10 and 36. And as a result, Tyler's second season premiered on January 5th, 2008. She has been a motivational speaker, life coach, personal growth and development instructor since 1981. And in 1987, the TB Incorporated was founded to specifically address the tremendous need for motivation to those individuals specifically seeking to obtain jobs, readiness skills, management training skills, or simply intensify and enhancing existing life skills. She invented the motivational chat and chew. We'll go more into that and find out what that's all about. Cooking and enhancing our personal growth allows us to keep ourselves with tools necessary to feed the world as well as our souls. In addition, Tyler is active in her public service sorority, Delta Theta. Hello, Dr. Zakiya, Courtney, and Tyler Brown. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
It is such a pleasure. And, I'll start with you, Dr. Zakiya Courtney. You are a vegan chef?
Yes, I am.
And
yes,
what,
I am.
What was it that led you to take that journey?
So I actually started the journey a couple of times. The first time that I tried to become vegetarian, I was like in my early 20s, and it was somewhat of a fad, you know, at that time. But it also was not very much information in terms of how to properly prepare food, make sure that everything was nutritionally balanced. There was not a lot of information out at that time. So they didn't last that long, just a couple of years. And then about 30 years ago, I started to learn more information about the impact that meat, has on our bodies. And in particular, my husband had been diagnosed with being borderline diabetic and hypertension. And the doctor told him that he could either go on medication or he could change his diet. And his diet was far worse than mine in terms of dependency on meat at that time. But anyway, when he got that warning, when he got that warning from his doctor, then he decided to change the diet. And that's when we became, vegetarian. And it eventually, evolved into being having a total plant-based diet.
Well, I said I'm going to eat some food. You want mushrooms for later?
Of course.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you could hear me. Somebody was talking over me.
Yeah, I heard you. Okay.
But that's to remind all of our listeners to be sure to press the mute button on their phones so that we don't have any background noise until we call for comments. If you want to go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So that was the beginning, of our journey. And at the time, when we made the decision at home to become vegetarian, we had probably about 6 children, you know, at home, most of them being in their preteen years. And so what we said to them is that they had, we told them what we were doing, you know, as a family and why, and that there would no longer be any meat products consumed in the house, but we could not force them, you know, what they would do outside of the home. And so the oldest at the time that was at home, he changed right away. And the youngest, who was only about 2, he didn't have any other choice. And so he changed. And the ones that were in between, you know, were challenged with that decision. And they have some really, really interesting stories of growing up, you know, vegetarian and then doing what they wanted to do outside. The conclusion, most interesting conclusion about both of those stories is that the two that gave us the most resistance as far as becoming vegetarian are now both phenomenal vegan chefs themselves.
Interesting. Mrs. Brown, now, you're not a vegan, but you specialize in nutrition?
Yes, I do. I specialize in cooking good food. Now,
okay.
Sometimes it's really totally nutritional. Sometimes it's a delicious slice of my sweet potato pie or pound cake, which is not always totally nutritional. But I believe that in life we have to have a balance. And when we have that balance in all parts of our life, as a result, we can indeed live to eat and eat to live. Now, when I hear that expression, I don't hear it as most people do. They think of live to eat as L-I-V-E-T-O-E-A-T. I don't. I see it as L-I-V-E-T-O-O-E-A-T. T-O-O is also, because if we want to live and be healthy, we need to live and also eat, and we need to eat and also live. That way we have balance in our life, and that's the expression that I you know, that I believe in, and I live by. And I believe we do have to live to eat and eat to live, and there are things that we can do that can help us to do that. And I believe in giving that information out and helping people to enhance their lives in every way that they can. But I've come to find that eating is something that most all of us partake in one way or another, even if it's intravenously. And you had asked earlier about the expression chat and chew. Back in the 70s, I would have what I call chat and chews at my house, where people would come over and we would just talk about things. But I've come to find that people are most comfortable. Well, people are interesting. When they come to your door, if you let them in, they're okay. They can sit in the sitting area. If you really like them, you bring them into the kitchen. And that's when you let your hair down. That's when you talk. That's when you're honest. That's when you're sincere. That's when you say what's really on your mind, because you're in a comfortable, honest environment. And that's important, mm-hmm. because when you eat, that's the type of environment you need to be in order for you to digest your food properly. So I started what was called the chat and chew. And we did that. I did that every opportunity I could. I did it with our sorority. I did it at my job. I did it wherever I could. I helped us to get in a place where we could relax, talk about what was going on with us, and then talk about ways to address it. To just talk about it isn't enough. We need to talk about ways to address it. So as a result, I've created now what I call the 5 C's. That's create, craft, cook, chat, care, and chill. And what I do is I have small groups of ladies to come over, and we go through all of those things. We create spoons full of love. That's also a craft. We cook something that's healthy. We chat about what's going on and ways that we can address it. And believe me, some of the conversations with this coronavirus have indeed been interesting. We talk about how we can properly care for ourselves. Because if you want to care for somebody else, you really have to care for yourself first. The airlines had it right. Put that mask over yourself first and then address other people. That way you can indeed be a blessing. And then to chill. A lot of times we don't just chill. A friend of mine has inspired me to basically create a chill cove downstairs in my house where I do the training. And that chill cove is an environment where people can listen to music that they like, where they can just maybe reminisce about an old song that they love, where they can just relax and just think. Because a lot of times we don't. We just act. We don't think before we act. And we need to do that a little bit more.
Sure. Dr. Courtney, question in regards to, you said you had your son's day went from not wanting to be vegan to being vegan chef. I mean, what kind of struggles are you, I mean, is that difficult now? And with this pandemic, is that life changing? Do you see the way you're eating is making you stronger or building your immune system? What is that? What knowledge do you have on that?
Well, right. Well, you know, the best defense, you know, in the pandemic that we live in now, that we all live in, is having a strong immune system. And what type of foods and vitamins and mineral supplements that we can take to help build our immune system stronger is really important, as well as all the other precautions that they have recommended. You know, we take that really seriously. But it's amazing in terms of some of the, for lack of a better term, some of the concoctions that has been developed to help support, you know, that immune system, whether or not, you know, it's the development, you know, of CMOS drinks, whether or not it's the development of super echinacea, vitamin C, you know, sure, elderberry. There's all types of supplements that are out there. And people are finding creative ways to make those things. And I like what Tyler was saying in terms of having a balance, because you want your food, you know, to not only be good for you, but you also want it to taste good. And that's one of the things that we definitely specialize in, is creating foods that are reminiscent of foods that we may have consumed at one time, especially when we were eating meat. But in the midst of the pandemic, there's been a lot more requests in terms of information. You know, all three of our businesses have actually thrived, you know, during the pandemic, because people were not going out, you know, to eat, but they still wanted to be able to enjoy, you know, good food. So people moved towards private chef services. You know, there you could take your whole family, you know, your in-house family, you know, to dinner and have much better food, but it's prepared right there, you know, in your own home. Okay. And that has been really good. Classes, you know, have been great. People want to know how, you know, to prepare healthy, good food. There are people that are on meal plans. They want to make sure that they have nutritious food all week long. So they actually contract, you know, with us to go ahead and provide 5 to 7 meals, you know, for them, you know, every week. And then they don't have to do anything but just take it out the refrigerator and heat it up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I have found that in this last year that people have just become a lot more health conscious than they had before. Yes, there's a trend going on as it relates to plant-based eating. You know, I'm not denying that. But what I saw in this last year or so, that it increased even more. You know, there has been discussion how with different pandemics, flus, and things like that throughout time, many of that has been tied to the consumption, you know, of meat products. There's information out there about that. And so people are just looking, you know, looking for alternatives. But at the same time, you know, like Tyler was saying, you know, people want those, they still want sweet potato pie. Okay.
Right.
They still want sweet potato pie, you know. And so the question is that how do you make just the absolute best, you know, tasting sweet potato pie without eggs, butter, and I don't know what else is in regular sweet potato pie.
Yeah. You know, I'm just wondering.
Or any products like that. Pardon me?
Mm-hmm. I said I was just wondering, you know, when people think about trying to be healthy, you know, they try to change their diet. I'm not going to eat, you know, they tell you that one piece of chocolate, dark chocolate, is good for you. If you have it just moderately, maybe once a week, a little bit of wine, just not be a glutton in anything. How do you, you know, regulate that? I mean, you know, Tyler, you talked about coaching. I mean, I've worked with a lot of people, and one of the biggest battles that they have is, you know, staying on task. And I know for me, and I recently dropped 32 pounds.
Congratulations.
So I understand thank you. And I understand the struggle, and I gave up meat, I won't say completely, because within the last 6 years, I probably had maybe three or four pieces of meat. But, you know, I had a colonoscopy, and I had a large polyp, and they told me, you know, I need to watch it with the red meat. And then the next year, I cut down the meat. I just went to just fish and just seafood, basically, and I just cut out the red meat. And then I had a smaller polyp. And then I was like, I just gave up meat altogether. And then the third time they checked me, there was nothing. And then the last time I went, you know, I was still doing a little bit of fish, and they found something that was precancerous, but it was, you know, very, they just said the conditions are looking like that. So I just need to just watch what I eat. And so I just kind of moved away from that. And I said, I mean, what do you tell people? I mean, they have to get one checked out. But, you know, genetically, you know, if you're, say, doing a lot of the right things, but you're still getting sick to a degree, I mean, how does that work? How does that look with your diet?
I think, well, first off, like according to Zakiya said, congratulations on your weight loss. And I understand how important that is. Over the last few years, I've lost 130 pounds. And understand, I'm not doing it to get credit. I'm not telling you that so everybody think, yippee. No, I'm saying that because a doctor told me that if I did not change my eating habits, I would be dead within 5 years. Now, this was shortly after my mom had passed away. And I told my daughter, and she and I sat there and cried. And she helped me to understand that, you know, mommy, grandma's already gone. We can't lose you, too. And so what I did is I decided to diet and seriously diet. But I think before that, I need to also say that there was a time in my life right after I graduated high school, I had to get my, you know, about 5 years after high school, I had to get my tonsils taken out. And at that time, I lost over 120 pounds. But to get back in individual good graces, I ate my way what I thought was back into good graces because I was told I looked like I had AIDS. I looked like I was anorexic. I looked like a lot of things to a lot of people, which made me to change how I think. And I think that if you're going to undertake anything in life, from eating to exercising to living appropriately to breathing, you need to think about it. Because those quick pants, not good for you. Sometimes you just need to sit down and breathe. And so I suggest that people think about what we do a little bit more often. We're in a world that microwave and jiffy and quick, and sometimes we live our life that way. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing all the time. We have to pace ourselves. And first off, we have to feel that we're worthy of the best that life has to offer. And so that we have to back that up again and say, then you have to decide that you love yourself. Dr. Martin read a poem. That's a good friend of mine. I've learned much from her. And one of the things she would say to me when I would come in talking fast is, Tyler, sit down, give yourself a hug. And sometimes we need to just give ourselves a hug, appreciate what is good and come up with a way to change what is not so good. I think we have to slow down. I think that's one of the good things that this pandemic has taught us is that we really need to slow down. And with my cooking show, I need to say, I didn't just cook sweets. Basically, it was a healthy eating cooking show. It was about how to eat healthy. And I believe that when we eat healthy, we live longer, we breathe better, and we don't just exist. Because there's living and then there's existing. And it's up to us to choose. Another one of the interesting things that Dr. Martin Thomas taught me that is very I think, useful in this and every area of our life is that before we do anything, we need to study. S-T-U-D-Y. Stop. Think. Understand and take responsibility for whatever it is you're about to do. Decide, is that really what you want to do? And then yield to the consequences of what you're about to undertake. When we truly study, we'll eat better because we'll love ourselves more and we'll do more of what we want to do. And Zakiya, that sweet potato pie recipe is the Magnificent Seven. Eggs, butter, cinnamon, nutmeg, sugar, milk, and sweet potatoes. I can give you that recipe offline, okay, sweetheart?
Okay.
And I can give
you
the pound cake one, too.
All right.
Because
there's
a way that you can do it without using.
That's right.
You can lose. You can use a low sugar. You can use a low milk. You can use a different kind of butter that they have. That, well, it's not butter, but it tastes like butter. And there's this other stuff that you can eat that tastes like eggs. So as a result, you can still enjoy these things, but understand there's usually more than one way to do something good. And I think maybe we need to think about some of these deliciously healthy alternatives, and that's what we do when we have our five C's. We think about deliciously alternatives to life, to food, to how we live. To waking up a half hour early every day and just doing something that is good for you because you are worth it. If it's nothing but walking to the bottom step in your house and step up, step up, step down, step down, step up. Do that for 1 minute every day. It gets your metabolism to going. Not that simple, and you deserve that. And those things help keep us healthy. They help keep us strong. And that's what's important. And the show that was on PBS was called Cooking Simply for the Soul.
Sure.
And that means our physical well-being, our mental well-being, our entire self. And that's so very, very important. And I believe that. Go ahead. I get carried away.
I said one of the things I was just thinking is that, you know, when you like you mentioned exercise, and well, that helps the food digest better, and just having fluids with your food. I mean, that with water, I mean, that breaks down the chance of decreases the chance of constipation. I mean, there's just so many good things. But I'm thinking, you know, when you talk about food, is there a cost difference from eating healthy and not healthy? When you talk about a lot of the processed foods, and like you said, a lot of the things that they set up that you microwave, I think we even talked, and I know Dr. James can attest to this, you know, just the way we've been kind of brainwashed to doing things, everything quick, you know, instead of breastfeeding, you know, they got the formula stuff that you can get mixed and so forth. And I mean, so we have a lot of that going on. And, you know, like, how do you combat that? How do we get people to understand, you know, the live off the earth, off the ground, you know?
First of all, people, you know, when people are looking to change, you know, they have to take baby steps first. You know, sometimes people will get out there, they just want to do what they call cold turkey and just quit everything, you know? And that usually doesn't last long because they don't have in their repertoire of information, you know, like Tyler just said, you know, with the acronyms of study. They have not done that. And so, you know, we encourage people to take, you know, baby steps, eliminate, you know, those things, you know, maybe one or two things at a time. Find substitutes. So like the list that she just gave us for sweet potato pie, every single thing that she gave, I got a substitute for. So I can make that pie. You know, I can make that pie. It won't take no more time.
Sweet potatoes are very healthy.
Exactly. It won't take no more time. And it probably will not be, you know, any more expensive. And I think that's one of the things that people oftentimes talk about when they're trying to move to a plant-based diet is that I can't afford to shop at the Outpost or whatever. And I tell people that, you know, Outpost is one of the stores that I go to. You know, I also go to Metro Market. You know, I'll go to, you know, Pick and Save stores that have the kind of fresh food that, you know, that I require. The other thing that is important too, and I think Tyler, you started to mention this, is that as we look at our DNA makeup, you know, there are some genetic flaws that we are just born with that's part of our DNA, and that while it may not happen sooner, it will happen, you know, it will possibly happen later, you know, in particular, you know, something like hypertension or diabetes. if that is something that, that runs in your family. And I can use my own family, you know, as an example, that with my brothers and sisters who we have the exact same, you know, mother and father, that for most of them, they were on high blood pressure medication, you know, and if not diabetic medication when they were in their 30s, okay? I was 60 years old before I was diagnosed, you know, with borderline hypertension and was prescribed a minimum dose, you know, of hypertension medicine. And to this day, that dosage has never changed, okay? But what was the difference between my person, what I was doing, and what my brothers and sisters, you know, had done, raised in the same household by the same parents, all had to do, you know, with life choices, you know, that we made, and in particular, dietary choices. Now, as they've gotten older, they've come closer, you know, to my way of thinking and eating than they were, obviously, in their 30s and 40s. I'm not saying that they're vegetarian or vegan, but they are conscious and aware of it, you know. And as I said, I've just observed that it makes a difference, you know. It makes a difference. But we recommend, you know, baby steps. You know, whatever it is that and I tell people this all the time, whatever it is that what is your favorite food, I got an alternative for it. And yeah, everything is not always healthy. It's never healthy, you know, the deep fried food, but we sure do enjoy it. Okay.
Exactly.
But you just don't do it. You can't do it every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was just thinking about what you were saying, too.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, what you were saying about, is it cheaper to eat healthy? Sad to say, no. Overall, if you go into the corner store, no. But if you appreciate yourself enough to go someplace else, now, like, one of my favorite stores is Woodman. It has some of everything I want. It has a healthy food section. And we can do little things, like instead of eating collard greens with ham hocks, we can eat kale with smoked turkey. It tastes just as good. All you have to do is know how to season it right. And I think that when you ask, you know, can we do that, it's like, can we afford not to? We have to understand
that. You're absolutely right. You either pay now or you pay later.
Exactly. And one of the things that when my doctor told me I was borderline, the three things that kill Black people fastest: heart disease, high blood pressure, and something else. Dr. James probably know what else. It's really five of them. I was borderline all five of those things and never had to take one pill. Because if you catch it in advance, you won't have to take it later on. And so that's my thing. It's let's try to catch a lot of this stuff in advance so that as a result, we won't have to take those things later on. And when I cook, with all of the things I cook, I sneak in some healthy stuff. I sneak in quinoa. A lot of us don't even use quinoa. It is some good stuff, and you can make some delicious dishes, some delicious quinoa salads. You can use it in the place of rice. There are all kinds of things that we can do. We just have to be encouraged to do a little work and love ourselves enough to know that we deserve those things, that we can have those things. It's not always the what, it's also the how. And we have to understand that if we want better, like my mother used to say, if you want to keep getting what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing.
Doing what you're doing.
But
right.
If you want something better, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to make a commitment. You're going to have to love yourself. You're going to have to exude strength. You're going to have fortitude. You're going to have a whole lot of stuff. But that's the
We're coming up on our first station break. So we will continue this and open the line up for calls and comments. We will listen to information from our sponsors for the Black Reality Think Day, Dr. Will Rogers. James?
Brother Kwanzi, while we're waiting for our start of the top of the hour, I did want to remind everybody that we were fortunate enough to have Dr. Juliet Martin Thomas, who presented for us her poem written in 1982, Dancing for Life, just perfect. And you can find this on her website, mudflowerblooming.com. So be sure to check out Dr. Juliet Martin Thomas's website. She wrote a book called Mudflower Blooming, and this will be included. This poem that she wrote, while it's called Dancing for Life, really hits home on some of the topics that we're talking about as it relates to food. And Dr. Martin Thomas is also an excellent cook. So she has many talents, and that is included among them. And we're just so fortunate that she came on for us to present to us her poem to get us inspired and something to help us pay attention to about food and dancing, which is an activity that is also going to be healthy for our life.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jane. Our sponsor, Eat Doc Advice, it is a website created to provide a place to go to get answers to your health or medical concerns. The questions are answered by a health professional and those who are knowledgeable about helping you make decisions about your personal health that makes sense to you. You can go to www.edocadvice.com. We do, at EDOC Advice, we do not replace our health professionals or provide your care, but we can help you to become a better consumer so that you can get the best information to make a truly informed decision. We network with other health professionals throughout the country and bring that information to you.
But we're now at the top of the hour, and we're open for our station break announcements.
You are what you eat. Food for thought.
Yo, we got a little nutrition lesson for you.
And listen, Mr. H has got a lesson on nutrition. Ask yourself what you're putting in your system. Fill up on that good fuel, no dismissing. Feeling like a rock star, your body's like a sports car. Driving the state on par, got it so far. Wouldn't want you feeling confused, feeling fooled. Follow Michael Pollan's book on food rules. Let's start with a little food for thought. Stick to the foods that'll eventually rot. For instance, you know those Oreos. Processed food you should forego. If grandma does not recognize it as a real food, then you should despise it. Like hydrogenated, barely pronounced. If it sounds like a chemical, better bet trounce
it. Eat real food, baby. Eat real food, baby. Eat real food, baby. Eat real food, baby.
Now that this lesson is jumping. False food claims myths were debunking. Avoid food products making health claims and the ones with light non-fat in their names. Avoid the foods advertised on TV. Eat mostly plants, really, really, really leafy. Like every spinach. Language calls it the same, like Big Mac. Put it in the food hall of shame. The whiter the bread, the sooner you'll be dead. If you eat meat, check, see how it was fed. Yo, listen up. When you drive through a drive-through, fast food fools, nutrients deprive you. Hold up. Sipping supersized sodas, loads of sugar, hurting health, getting older. Look at the list of ingredients on the label. More than five. Advise leave off your table. Veg out on fruits and veggies. Eat as much as you want to fill your belly. Just like a rainbow, eat so many colors. A nutritional pot of gold you'll discover. Less is more. Small portions on your plate. weight. Overindulge translates to overweight. Here's a tip next time you're at your grocery. Shop the perimeter, fresh foods like poultry. Hopefully, take these ideas to heart. Eat locally, give your health a fresh start. Cook for yourself, not rely on a baker, cause they get control of the salt shaker. Eat sweet foods as you find them in nature. Rather add in sugar to give it flavor.
Flavor. So what you're saying is that we should
eat real food, baby. Eat real food, baby.
Checks in a panic. Probably should apply to produce and botanics. Eat less red meat, more fatty fish like salmon. If this is news, diet needs to be examined. Stop cutting carbs, crazy fat diets. Teach yourself how to cook, not fry it. Straight to the point, no faking. Cooking these rhymes like a pound of bacon. You must eat slow, in moderation. Stuff yourself silly obesity you'll be facing. If you like sweets, treat treats as treats. Yes. Only live once, sometimes you gotta cheat. Break these rules once in a while. No feeling guilty, won't be no trial. Eat real food, baby. Eat real food, baby. Eat real food, baby. Eat real food, baby.
Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to nutrition.
Here's your time for an awakening media lineup. Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives, with host Brother Oshi, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., same time, same place. Continued Monday lineup, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, with host Brother Jihad Ahmed, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central, host Dr. Mawia Kambom and Sister Nataki Kambom, 9 p.m. till 10 p.m., Conversation Reparations, first and third Mondays. On Tuesday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Melanin Live with host Lance Jones, co-host Boniswa Ayan. Fridays, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Time for an Awakening, with creator of Time for an Awakening and host, Brother Elliot, co-hosted by Brother Richard. Saturday, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk, with host Wanda Chambers. 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., The Elders of Sankofa. And Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening, host Brother Elliot and co-host Brother Richard. Check us out, get informed, and get in.
You are listening to Elders of Sankofa, with host The Elders. The Elders of Sankofa radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at Sankofa_think@out.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
All right, we're back. This is your host, Kwasi Malimo, and Dr. Jamie James. And we're going to open up the lines for calls, for questions, or comments. You can give us a call at the Black Reality Think Tank at 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Okay, until we get a call.
Brother, we've got some folks on here that look like 414-477. 414-477. Are you out there with a comment or question? We're open to questions and comments. 424-708. 424-708 and 414-526. 414-526. 215-924.
Yes. Yes, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going, fam?
I'm doing well. This is Brother Joe from Philadelphia. I'm enjoying the show. Last time I talked to y'all was when, I think 2 weeks ago, when y'all was talking about the police situation, I think it was.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, excellent show. And I just want to say, as a 59-year-old black man and a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and stuff, and I follow the book, How to Eat to Live, books 1 and 2, and y'all subject about food and cooking food and eating the right foods is so timely because, you know, as I, in Philadelphia, as I tell Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from Time for the Awakening, I walk around and travel around Philadelphia. It just pains me to see, you know, some of our young black men and women, even some of the older ones, especially the young black men and women, obese, overweight, things like that, because they're eating fast foods, processed foods, you know, unhealthy food, not exercising. And I got really a very distressed call yesterday, as a matter of fact. That's why I say y'all show is so timely, y'all subject matter, because a good friend of mine, she called me in obvious pain because she had lost her brother, who was a fifth. And I seen all these boys grow up together. We all around the same age, just a few years apart. She had five brothers, and all five of them are now deceased. She's the only one left now because they had unhealthy lifestyle. They all ate unhealthy. They did a lot of drinking and not, you know, exercising, eating fast foods. And like I said, I watched these brothers grow up because they grew up together. And all five of them, the last one, they found dead in his apartment yesterday. And I'm sending myself to see these young brothers just check out so fast, man. I mean, she had five brothers and all of them gone now because of bad lifestyle choices, not eating right, drinking, and all that other food. Foolishness, man, and we as a people, we just can't keep going out like that, man. That's why I appreciate what y'all are doing tonight to try to, you know, wake our people up to let our people know it's other ways. We can have healthy food and eat good food, and it can be tasty as well. And like the sister said, you know, you're gonna pay now, pay later. So I mean, we gotta start eating better. You know, we gotta stop going to all these nasty takeout places, fast food, whether it be Chinese, whether it be the big, you know, the Burger Kings of the world, whatever. We got to stop eating and start eating some healthy fruits, vegetables, you know, stir fries and stuff, eating, drinking clean water, exercising, taking out herbal nutritional supplements. We have got to do better as a people, man. We have to, because you can't fight for the people if you're not going to be healthy for the people, you know. So.
Right. And, you know, when you talk about the pandemic, and I can relate to that because my former high school, had 8 people so far pass away, and each of the 8 people were unhealthy people. You know, they had some health problems, and only one of them wasn't overweight, just one. And that one, they all had, you know, a lot of bad eating habits, and, you know, that's just something that wasn't important to them, you know.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate too, because these are good people we losing. Because like I said, I'm sure the people you're talking about was good people, and the five brothers that my friend lost over the last 10 years or so, they was good guys. They was very business minded, very intelligent, but just had bad eating habits. Man, and that's just so sad. Yeah. They were smart, you know, brain-wise, they were smart as far as doing business. They was all good business people, good at math, things like that, but just had bad eating and living habits, man. It's just, and they the sad part about it, they left back children, you know, children that they won't be able to see them, get married in some cases, or see the birth of their grandchildren. Man, it's so sad to see young life. And these brothers I'm talking about all died in their 40s and 50s, you know?
Yeah,
I'm like, wow, I'm 59. You know?
Mm-hmm. The sad thing about it is that food is very political.
Yes,
okay?
It is.
And our acquisition, you know, to be able to even get healthy food is not an option in many areas, and they now designate, you know, those areas as food deserts. What is it that I've seen in the last couple of years, and again, especially during last year during the pandemic, is that there was an enlightened interest in gardening, okay, especially with the millennials, okay, that age group. That age group didn't carry the stigma which some people in my generation, I'm a baby boomer, would carry the stigma of sharecropping and, you know, did that, our ancestors did it, we don't want to do that no more, you know, and didn't really see, you know, the benefit of being able to, you know, grow your own food. But in the millennials in particular, there's a renewed interest in that. And I saw that their participation in Alice's Garden, where I'm also a gardener, how they came in not only seeking information, providing information, being enthusiastic about what it was that they were growing, just you know, taking it, you know, to the next level, which I think is really, really important. So I'm saying that to say that when we look at the poverty, you know, of food, you're absolutely right, brother. You know, we have too many of our people that are dependent upon fast food, processed food, and that's all they know because that's all their parents, you know, gave them. And it's not until you start to gain access, you know, to more information or education, going back to what Tyler had talked about with the acronym of the word study, do people start to move to look and know that you can make other choices. There are other options out there, you know, and that's something that we have to continue, you know, to encourage people to do. You know, one of the things that I do, even with people that are gardening, oftentimes people don't know how to prepare, you know, the food that they've grown in the healthiest way. You know, being able to provide those options to them, that information, and find out you can make a healthy dinner in less than 30 minutes. Okay? It doesn't have to be an all-day affair. It requires some planning, which it should. You got to go to the grocery store and get the food or have the food delivered, whichever way you want to do it. But knowing that you can properly nourish yourself and your family in 30 minutes and for a minimum amount of money is information that a lot of people just don't have access to. And we have to do better in terms of trying to provide that for them.
And I appreciate what you said too, sister. When you said about, like you said, today, cooking, like you said, collard greens and ham, like you said, get some kale and season it with turkey butts or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's a good alternative. You know, because like I said, we as the people, we can definitely do better and everything because it's so many things out here. Like you said, when we like we mentioned gardening, I heard on one of the radio black radio stations here in Philadelphia, the only one we have left, by the way, talk radio stations outside of Time from the Wicked, that's the terrestrial radio station. A brother called the other day and he said, for all y'all brothers that let it grow weed and all that stuff, he said, start growing the vegetables and fruits and stuff. He said, if you can you know, grow weed all in your backyard and your basement, then grow some healthy fruits and vegetables. And when the brother said, I had to chuckle to myself. I said, that makes a lot of sense, you know? That makes a lot of sense.
They can grow collard greens on the outside of their marijuana plants.
Well, thanks for your time. I'm listening for the rest of the show. Can y'all put me on mute and I'll listen to the rest of the show? Get information. Keep up the good work. You have a wonderful show, Elders of Sankofa. Excellent show. And I'm going to be a regular listener every week, God's willing.
All right. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, having information out there and available to people, you know, the internet can be your best friend, you know, in terms of trying to find out more information about what to do with whatever it is that you have. But I do also have to acknowledge the fact that my daughter, you know, has created 3 cookbooks that especially deal with not only transitional, you know, veganism, but also elevating it, you know, to the next level. You know, she has some of my recipes in here too, but she has definitely been able to provide a opportunity for people who are looking to eat healthier, to transition and to elevate, you know, their own food game.
Yeah. I have a nephew. I don't know if you know him, Paul Kraft, and he has a line called Unfit to Be Slave, but he does a lot of vegan foods, and he's been vegan for 6 years now. And,
yeah.
So he's doing real well with that, and he does a lot of cooking. And I'm just wondering, because you talked about in the Milwaukee area, there's a restaurant that you work at different times where they're trying to get the community to eat better. And mm-hmm. so people pay what they can. So if a family of three or four or five come in there, you know, they might charge them $3 because there's other people making donations. So these families should come in and eat, but eat healthy. And that's one of the things
exactly.
that they're trying to move towards.
Right. And that's Trickle Bee Cafe, which is okay. located 4424 West North Avenue. And their concept is a pay what you can concept. And so okay. we don't charge anybody anything. People give us what they get, whether or not it's pocket change, whether or not it's time. You know, some people, you know, will give pocket change. Some people give $100, $500 donation. You
yeah.
know, we have much of the food that we get comes from local farmers who just donated, you mm-hmm. know, where they have their overages and stuff. And it's just been an amazing concept. A lot of people like, pay what you can. How can you stay open, you know, like that?
Right.
Well, it works. You know, it works. It works because we have a group of volunteers. I actually volunteer there on Fridays. I'm the head chef. And in exchange for my volunteering, I have an opportunity to use the facility, the kitchen, you know, as my catering kitchen, as well as when I do pop-up events. And so I just absolutely love it. The food is first quality. You know, it's nothing that somebody left outside in the garbage that nobody else wants. No. And the food that we serve, you know, to the public is just top notch. So we have many people, you know, in the neighborhood who never even heard of vegan, you know, let alone have an opportunity to eat some vegan food, that they'll come and they'll taste it and they're like, ooh, this is good. You know, and it can be everything from soups and salads to desserts, you know, to entrees, to beverages. You know, sometimes everything I just named, you know, is part of the meal. And yeah, you're absolutely right. A family of four, let's say you don't have much money, it's like, you know what, I got to feed my family. All I got is $10. You come right around there. Yeah, we'll give you enough food for your family of four.
Now, Sister Taylor, you are not vegan again, but you go out there and you still teach people how to eat healthy, eating the foods that they like to eat, and being able to teach sometimes and so forth. But you're still healthy, and like you said, you lost quite a bit of weight. And how's that changed you in the community? I mean, do you get a chance to go out and cook for people? I mean, how do you reach out to them?
As a matter of fact, I do. There are individuals that I have been encouraging to eat more healthy, and because it's been, you know, people ask me, well, how did you do that? And so I just basically tell them, I share that information with them. And one of the things that I do is I prepare food for individuals, and on Wednesday, I call it my Hump Day Wednesday. And on that
okay.
day, I do a bowl that consists of black beans, quinoa, sometimes a piece of chicken breast. The ones that people like the most is a piece of salmon.
Okay.
Kale greens. It's about seven or eight things in the bowl. And it's a nice big bowl, and it's enough for you to eat all day. So you can eat a little now, eat a little later, whatever. But the bowl is big enough so that you can eat this bowl all day long. And the idea is for individuals to get in the habit of, number one, having a break between eating times. Number two, understanding that eating healthy is not bad. It can taste just delicious. Zakiya alluded to that, about how you can really make alternate changes, slight changes to food, and really make it taste good. I got my daughter eating kale by sneaking it in instead of collards. And I got a lot of other people doing the same thing. And they said, girl, these collard greens are delicious. I'm so glad you like them. I'm not going to change their mind. I mean, if that's working, And then eventually I will tell them it's kale, and kale is, believe it or not, even more healthy than collards. And so there, I love the fact that I can, you know, that I love the fact that you're having this show, because it's helping people to understand that there are things that we can do in order to be more healthy. And I've come to find when you're healthier, you're happier. When you're happier, you're more than likely going to take care of yourself and continue that happiness state of mind. And there are things that we can do to do that. Mm-hmm. And the key of that idea about people eating for what they can afford, that's an awesome idea. That's marvelous. Because a lot of times people just cannot afford, or they think, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say the negative. People think that they cannot afford to eat healthy. But I'm a firm believer, and I know from life experience, that if you want a thing bad enough, a power far greater than anybody down here walking, riding, or running will give you or turn you on to or have somebody come to you with what you need so that you can be your best self. And I do that with my hump day bowls. I also provide meals to people who are on specific diets. And I give them what I eat. And we just have to do better in reference to eating healthy. And like I said, I don't encourage people to do it cold turkey, because usually cold turkey doesn't last long. But there's a way that we can gradually get into this, and before we know it, we'll look up and we've lost the weight that we want to lose, or we've gotten more healthy, or we're eating more properly. And that's what's important. And I encourage the slower method. Go ahead.
I think it's a double-edged sword sometimes when you're trying to teach people to eat proper, but when you see commercials on TV, I mean, you know, the processed foods are just advertised all the time. And, you know, and the way they market things, you go in the store, they're cheaper. So, you know, if they're looking at their budget, this is what they're going to get. But, you know, these things are just so toxic, especially in the long run. That's what you're eating all the time. And you know, how do you manage that? And then we've been just made to think and believe that these things, I mean, I think they changed what the Food and Drug puts on the ingredients. They don't have to put everything on there. That's one of the things, one of the bills, I think, that when Trump got in, they made a deal with the Food and Drug Administration, whereas they don't have to put everything that's in an item, because you have people that are checking and looking at the ingredients to see whether or not they're going to get this and that. You know, like some people want to make sure that they're not going to have this much sodium and so forth.
Right. It's a matter of retraining, you know, ourselves. Yeah. And so even when you talk about truth and labeling, if you look at even what they have on the labels right now, you know, it's obvious that we're not reading the label. It's obvious we don't know or understand what it is that we're reading. And let me give you an example. One of the most dangerous foods, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't want to say it's just connected to poverty, because college students, everybody else, you know, is doing it, is that those ramen noodles. Okay.
A pack of ramen noodles.
If you have one in your cabinets right now, if you look on and you read the level, it says it has 900 milligrams of sodium, right? Mm-hmm. 900 mm-hmm. milligrams of sodium. Well, the recommended amount of sodium that we should take, a healthy adult should take in any given day, is 2,500 milligrams of sodium. So if you've eaten one pack of those noodles, that's 900 milligrams for one serving. Mm-hmm. The other part of that is that package may serve two. Okay? Right. That may serve two. So if it serves two and it says 900 milligrams, that means that there's 1,800 milligrams of sodium that you're getting ready to take in. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's just for one pack. That's just for one pack. And I know
that's
people
one of the
see
secrets that they do in reference to labeling stuff is they tell you for a
it's
serving
there.
Of one, but but for one serving, but the package contains three or four or six, sometimes eight servings.
Exactly.
And you don't think, okay, I need to multiply this by two or multiply it by four or by eight. And I think that we've got to stop allowing ourselves to be dummied down in reference to that. And I think that's why the show is such a blessing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I say the poverty politics of food.
Exactly.
We don't know what else that they're leaving out, but we know what they put on there, and we don't understand what it is that we're reading.
Mm-hmm.
If we're if we're taking the time to read it at all. So again, going back to what you can afford or what you cannot afford. I mean, if you want quote unquote ramen noodles, you can buy a whole pack of rice noodles. Okay, you can buy a whole pack of rice noodles and control the seasoning that you put in it. All right, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to kill your whole sodium allowance in one sitting. You know, nor do you have to give that to your children. And that's the scary part about it. We're feeding our children this garbage and don't even know it. And I would tell, I tell parents all the time, you know, you have better luck eating the wrapper, the outside wrapper, than you would the noodles and the seasoning packet inside.
You know,
now that's some food for thought right there.
I used to eat them 5 packs at a time.
That's crazy. Oh, man.
I was growing it. It was cheap, so I ate it. You know, it tastes good.
Yeah.
And I used that. And I used that colored cheese stuff. It was sticky, but I ate it.
Yeah.
You know.
Again, we didn't know.
You said, you know, you need to study. You need to understand. You know what you're putting in your tank. I mean, you are what you eat. And so I'm creating problems for myself. But you know, it's an honest mistake because I'm believing that this is good because. You know, this is what they're selling in the store.
Right. Well, thank God for shows like this, because now that we know better, we can do better. And don't beat ourselves up for what we did in the past. But now that we know better, we can do better. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Zakiya. They sell those rice noodles in Woodman, where you can get the exact same rice noodles. And there are seasonings that you can get without a lot of sodium in them. There's this thing called green seasoning. You can get the kind that's low sodium. And you can season romaine noodles with that green seasoning, and you'll be not romaine noodles, rice noodles with that green seasoning and crack an egg. Well, you don't do eggs, but anyway, crack an egg, whip it up and put it in there, and it tastes delicious.
That's right.
Other things that we can do that are more healthy. It's just we have to become aware of them and open ourselves up to knowing something better and something new, because it's out there for us to learn. This show is an exact example of that.
Yeah. Well, we have to teach.
A good thing is that we need to take our time and sit down and eat, not trying to rush. Because we're doing everything so quick. Everything is instant this, instant that. And if you want to eat some good food, take your time and make the food.
Yeah.
I started making my lunch, my dinner. And I would make that, you know, early the morning or the night before. And then I basically cut my eating habit to 1 to 2 meals a day. And I started doing some intermediate fasting. And I just made a lot of changes. And I feel a lot better, a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. So I really understand what you're saying. And I just wonder how you felt about fasting. Is that something that either one of you do, or you see the benefits in that?
I have done it. I've done it before, especially intermediate fasting. And I don't, you know, again, it's all right in moderation, you know, and then you're looking at how it is that you're fasting. Some people are doing it in different ways. When I participated, you know, I was just eating every 4 hours, nothing in between. I didn't skip, you know, like breakfast or lunch or dinner or anything like that. And I stopped eating after a certain time. One of the things that would be ideal for that type of fasting, when Tyler was talking about the bowls that you make, is that you just ate the same thing all day, you know, which is fine, you know. And so the fact that I wasn't eating anything in between, with the exception of, you know, drinking water, you know, that is what worked. But when you talk about doing starvation type of things, you know, skipping meals, then you for the most part will set yourself up to failure, because then you're going to overeat or binge, or, you know, do the other things because you're just so hungry by the time you do decide to eat. I know that there are some people that believe in just eating one meal a day. And, you know, again, that's fine if that's something that you've been doing for a while.
Right.
And that's part of your philosophy.
Mm-hmm. And if it's in your mental state to do that, then you can.
Right.
Yeah. But for me, I fast for spiritual reasons because it's good for my spiritual growth. And yes, I've belonged to a Kojic church. I've done, you know, those types of things. But I think that we have to be realistic and know what the true definition of fasting is and understand that there are different types of fast and find the one that works for you because God knows your heart. And in that knowingness then, and he knows that you really want, you're doing this for me. You're doing this because you're showing your care for me. I'll take what I can get. God is the one that I serve. I believe that he understands that there, all of us are unique and different, and we all bring unique and different gifts, and he wants us to be well to bring those gifts. And we have to be in communion with him and other people who really care about us to find out what is going to work well for me so that I can stick to it. I don't want to do something quick, fast, and hurry because you end up messing up real right away.
Right.
Just like losing weight real fast. You end up gaining that and some buddies.
And then some.
So So you have to do it in a way whereby it becomes a lifestyle change. And then when people ask me, did I diet? No. I inherited and I decided to take on a lifestyle change.
Right.
And that's when you decide to do that, your lifestyle will change for the best if that's what you want.
During the winter solstice.
Opportunity for some comments or questions among our listeners. And we have a number 312-520. Is this someone who's here with a comment or a question for our guest?
Hello, caller. Question or comment?
Question or comment? Well, I'm going to use this opportunity to throw something into the mix, and it's something that I've been doing throughout the year. I'm not sure quite how I got so interested in it, but I call it COVID fighting meals. I started preparing that, and I found that this is not expensive. And it's enough to share, but that we think about what is it that we can do. And I tell people this even as a physician, what do we have to do to survive this pandemic? And I don't know that I have the answer, but I know that I am concerned about people having an immune system that is able to fight. We're all exposed to viruses and infections at all times. And so I want to certainly use this opportunity to put this on people's mind in terms of what is it that we can do to try to prevent infection. We need our rest. We need more sleep. So our schedules, I know, are very torn up, but there is more time in which to just sleep. And if you sleep from a perspective of being strong and being able to fight infection, the other is plenty of water. And I don't mean just fluid, I mean water, just water. Now, for those who are afraid about the lead in the water or other toxins, then if you feel more comfortable with bottled water, but think about that. Focus on that. And even in many of the fast food places, they do have water that's available for you to purchase if that makes you feel more comfortable. And then incorporating many of your soups gives you more water, and it also gives you the opportunity to place in there the ingredients that we have learned help to boost our immune system.
That's right.
Two of the spices that I have incorporated in my kitchen is turmeric.
Yes, say that.
As well as cumin.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Those are the big two. Yes.
You guys are making me so hungry.
No, you can make stuff that tastes good with those. Go ahead, Dr. Mm-hmm. James. Yes.
Adding things that we have been accustomed to, but not really thinking about it from a medicinal standpoint, garlic.
Yes.
Garlic.
Yes. Number one.
Mm-hmm. And I was steering away from potatoes because I was concerned about the carbohydrate and increasing risk for diabetes. But my mother often would talk about, well, I need just a little potato in there with my green beans. And what do I come to find out is that there's quite a lot of magnesium.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
An element that is in the potato, and that magnesium can serve to help to lower blood pressure and control blood sugar. So this is an important thing. Some of the foods that you can dice up some potato, white potato or sweet potato.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And not fry them, but put them into that soup. And
it tastes so good. Yes.
It does. And you got to add the onion. Don't forget the onion.
Onion. But we eat an onion with just about everything.
Exactly.
And then we want to add, we can put celery.
Mm-hmm.
We can put cabbage sliced up. And particularly your red cabbage gives it a little more color.
Yeah. And purple too. Yes, indeed.
And for those who say they must have some meat, some ground turkey that has been cooked and get the grease out of that and then add that can be added to your soup. You can put beans in it, any of your beans.
Cauliflower, broccoli, all of those good things.
You know, this conversation needs to be on a world stage, especially in our community, so that everybody gets this science and understand what they need to be doing, because there's so much confusion as far as how we should eat. And I see that every day, and with people that just, I might see them on the bus, I might see them driving down the street, or getting something from the restaurant. And, you know, every now and then I'll drive and I'll do some Uber Eats or DoorDash and the things that people order. But these people are making millions of dollars off of
killing us.
you know, killing people. And what we're number one, we're so-called the richest country in the world, but we're number one in, you know, diabetes and obesity. And so that's just something about our diet, the decisions and the choices that we make.
One of the things I did before coming on is I like to do research, and I was looking at the 20 healthy foods. And Dr. James, you just mentioned, I don't know how many of them on the list. The leafy greens, the salmon, the cauliflower, broccoli, lean beef, chicken breast, boiled potatoes. You know, you can puree those. If you have a soup that's really weak, you can puree that and you'll have a base for your soup. Tuna, beans, lentil, soup, cottage cheese, avocado, apple vinegar. Now, that's something I do not like. I don't like apple cider vinegar. But if you make yourself some kale greens and put some apple cider vinegar that's been in some hot peppers over those greens, that pepper sauce, you got a whole new wonderful dish. Nuts, whole grain quinoa, chili peppers, fruit, vegetables, grapefruit, chia seeds, coconut oil, low-fat yogurt. These are things we need to have at least one of these things every day, because they will help us to get on the road to eating and being better. They even help you think better. Studies show that when you eat, you should have a record on or a favorite song on and eat at least to the length of that song twice, because then you slow down, you enjoy it, and then you feel better. You digest better.
My question relates to something that I think both of you may have dealt with. Many of us think of food in association to how we feel or certain events.
Mm-hmm.
And often when we think about a birthday, let's say a birthday, And when we're celebrating a birthday, we automatically think about cake and ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what would be some alternative? What can we suggest to our listeners that might be an alternative to a celebration that we could put together that is just as tasty and as satisfying instead of cake and ice cream?
Okay. Sometimes people have these pizza parlors that people go to. You can get the right kind of pizza that has something as simple as pineapple on it, which most people don't want to eat. But you can get the low-cal cheese. You can have it a thin crust so that you don't, you know, have as much bread intake. You can put turkey on pizza. You can put salmon on pizza. So it's like using alternatives to a dish that you already enjoy.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, I agree. I totally agree. You know, and not only can you do that with pizza, there's all kinds of bars that you can have, a potato bar. You can have a taco bar. You can have a salad bar. People think about salads and just think about, you know, cold, boring, you know, kind of stuff. There's so many different ways that you can do it. You can even have a cooking party, you know, depending upon the age of the kids or the adults, because we've done it for adults too, where you actually, part of the celebration is actually coming together and preparing the food. Tyler said earlier that if you really in, you know, to the house that you go until you get invited into the kitchen. Well, the kitchen is right where the conversation and where the love and the magic, you know, takes place. Yeah. And so it's just a matter of, you know, changing our perspectives. I know in our family, we from September 11th all the way through the end of the year. Actually, it doesn't stop. But anyway, it's almost somebody's birthday every weekend. And at a point, you know, it's like, how much ice cream and cake, you know, can you have? How many muffins, you know, can you do or whatever it is? And so there's things that we can do. They can bake their own cookies. They can decorate, you know, their own cookies. And again, when you're making things yourself, then you're in control, you know, of the sugar, you know, that's in the food or whatever else is in it. You know, it's like with peach cobbler. Peach cobbler does not have to be super syrupy, you know, heavy syrup sweet.
Right.
It doesn't Right. You know, and most people don't know that they could do it with at least half the sugar. So you can have like a peach cobbler. You can even have a cake, but it doesn't have to have all of the artificial ingredients that we think we need to have. Okay.
Right.
Food is part of every culture, okay? It's central to every culture. It's central to celebrations, you know, special birthday dinners or holiday dinners, you know, or whatever. But when you look out on that table, you know, you have the opportunity to look and see what is it that you could do differently. You know, people put the giant turkey on the table, and most part it winds up going bad because people eat all the sides and stuff. You know, they get a little bit of the turkey, but then they don't eat much of that because a lot of times it's not cooked right, it's dried out, whatever the case may be. What I'm saying is that people can look and say, okay, well, what can I do differently? You know, does it have to be the same old thing? Conversations, you know, across the table. The dinner table, you know, is an important communicator, you know. I've watched people, they come and get their food, and they go upstairs in their room and get back in front of the video game. It's like, what? You know? Versus we know that the dinner table, you know, was the time to find out what was happening in the lives of our family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You made sure to be home for dinner because it was that time.
I said, I feel healthier just talking to you, but I'm just wondering, you know, for our listeners, you know, for all this wealth of information, do you have books? Do you have a website where people can just get information from you on how they should eat and if they want to make some changes? I mean, a lot of people made different resolutions for, I'm going to be better in 2021. I'm going to do this.
Okay.
I'm going to do that. That was New Year's Day. You know, this is what I'm going to do. How are you going to, you know, reach out to these people and give them some direction? How can they make contact with you?
Okay, well, first of all, most New Year resolutions are broken back January 30th because it wasn't part of the spirit. It's just something they said they were going to do. But, you know, you can't make changes without God. So what I recommend in terms of how people can get in touch with me, you can get in touch with me through Facebook, my business, is Vegan Soul Milwaukee. But also, too, as I said earlier, my daughter has three cookbooks now, and I do have some recipes in each of those cookbooks. She does all the social media, Instagram and, you know, Facebook and everything else. But her website is Cooking with Joya, JOYA.com. So it's www.cookingwithjoya.com. All right. And she posts almost every day. She's posting cooking videos, you know, teaching people, showing people how to prepare food. She's doing things on TikTok. You know, she does, you know, elaborate dishes to simple dishes. And this is her livelihood. So she's doing it every day. You can always find something there.
Nice.
Now, for me, I'm in the process of developing my website, and it is called Cooking Simply for the Soul, which was the name of the cooking show. And basically, what I've come to find is that when people cook, everybody does not want to be a gourmet chef. However, there's a way that we can cook simple and healthy and you know, enjoy the journey. And that's basically what I, you know, what I'm putting on the website. I've also been asked to do my book, my cookbook. It too is going to be called Cooking Simply for the Soul. And it's going to be a motivational cookbook, because I think that with everything we do, motivation is the foundation. If you're going to decide to go back to school, you're motivated to learn. If you decide you want to start to exercise more, you got to be motivated. Every good thing that we do usually has a foundation of motivation. And so with the cookbook, it's going to be motivationally oriented, like my cooking show. With my cooking show, I had a show where I made banana cream pie, banana foster, and banana nut muffin. And the title of the show was How Not to Go Bananas. So everything that I do, I tie it in with something that can help us to be healthy emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, all of the good leads. I think that we need to incorporate those things so that we can, you know, be the better for it. And then share that information with somebody else. Pass it on to somebody else. And kids love baking banana nut muffins. I've come to find, instead of that cake, you can make them a banana nut muffin and a low-calorie icing. They love it. And those are little things that we can do. My sister, for her son's graduation, he became a pharmacist. She had a potato bar where we had these wonderful baked potatoes and sweet potatoes and all kinds of delicious things that you could put in. And it was very, very healthy. So you're right. There are things that we can do that are very healthy. We just have to be willing to embrace positive, realistic change. Because like I said, like mommy said, if you want to keep getting what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. But if you want to change, love yourself enough. Because you deserve that love. Like Juliet said, give yourself a hug. Love yourself enough to make that change. And be around people who will help you to do that. Be around other people and then encourage other people. So we can be in this together. And don't force it on anybody, but encourage them to lovingly be your best self, because we're in there. We just need to come out and express it more. We're in there. Just come on out and be our best self. It's okay.
You know, this would be great if we could make this the new normal as far as living to eat and eating to live, you know, doing the right things, making good decisions on how we move forward as far as ourselves and our family and our community picks up on the same thing. And we then increase our immune systems as a whole, you know, which will cut down on just so many issues. And like you said, there's so many different viruses outside of this pandemic, and we've been in a pandemic since forever. So there's nothing new. I mean, it's just
not new to
a physical crisis.
Well, I don't know if Sister Dee is still here with us, but Sister Dee had some concerns and questions that came from her research related to the foods that we're eating, and are we being poisoned? Is this? I heard Dr. Zakiya speak about the politics of eating, but Sister Dee, are you still there? If you are, could you bring up your points that you had on that?
Sister Dee?
Does she have to unmute her phone?
Yeah, well, Sister Dee Dee, if anybody has some thoughts on that, are we being poisoned? Are we? Is this a plot to contribute to our poor health?
It is. It is because it controls. You can control through the food, you know. And if the food is making you sick, who's going to benefit from that, right? You know, we live in a capitalist society. They don't care. You know, the major motivation is not for people to have healthy food options. The major motivation is how to make money. And how do we make money in the best possible manner, okay? And, you know, you see that in corporate farming. I think that, again, in the beginning of the call, we talked about the pandemic and what some of the things that has happened as a result of this pandemic. The earth needed a rest, okay? The earth needed a rest. All right, from everything that has, that humans have done, you know, throughout time, you know, the earth needed to take a breath. All right, and when the earth needed to take a breath, everybody had to stop, and everything had to stop. All right, and it made a big difference. You know, it made a big difference.
Brother Horace, you have another. For our sponsors, if you wanted to talk about this again. Brother?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just listening to what Sister Zakiya was saying. But I want you guys to understand that we have
Well, I can go to that. We have EDOC.
Yes.
And EDOC advice, we provide specific medical answers to those seeking a better understanding about medical conditions and health. We offer our faculty of EDOCs, who are licensed physicians and health professionals, who make themselves available to those globally seeking a better understanding of health issues and medical practice. And that is www.edocadvice.com. EDOC advice for answers to your specific questions. We welcome sponsors for our program. Sponsors are encouraged. You may have a book that you would like to tell us about or a service that others should know about. And this is one way to get that information out. Consider becoming a sponsor. Email the Black Reality Think Tank at Sankofa_think@outlook.com. As well as the Sankofa Council of Elders has an email address, which is sankofacouncilmke@gmail.com. So our email address is sankofacouncilmke@gmail.com. As we're getting close to the end of our program, we would like to thank our wonderful guests that are here with us today, the Sankofa Council. We wish to thank them for their support of this program and for sharing their vision for unity following Afrocentric principles and helping us to learn and use those principles in our lives. We look forward to bringing to you more programs that we hope you will enjoy. Visit our sponsor at EDOC Advice, as well as we thank our guests, Dr. Zakiya Courtney, Ms. Tyler Brown. We are grateful for our Sankofa members, Dee Dee Conley, who has helped us so much with the giving of the ancestral profile, and we appreciate our host and Kwasi Mule. So we are very grateful to be here with us today, and it was a pleasure for us to discuss these topics as well as looking forward to discussing others. And thank you. Good night. Stay safe. And thank you, Sankofa family.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
This was wonderful. And we got to get together again soon. This can't be a one-time event.
All constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way.
My old boy from the point, but I'm from Southwest. And every now and then I get put to the test. But I can't be stopped, cause I gotta come to. Ain't got no gun, but I got my crew. Didn't come for no beef, cause I don't eat steak. I gotta play the soul food, chicken, rice, and gravy. Not coming in 2 months, drinking a cup of punch. Tropical every last Thursday of the
Daddy
month.
Put the hot grits on my chest in the morning. When I was sick, Mary had the hot soup. All I didn't know why, but it felt so good. Like some waffles in the morning, headed back to the woods. Now I'm full as a tick, got some soul on blast and a cassette. Food for my brain and haven't stopped learning yet. Hot wings for Mojo's, got my forehead sweat. Celery and blue cheese on my menu next.
My body till I spill. Top face brooms around me like cancer drill. We were secondhand off the coast, but only 2 weeks. Mouth was worse, plus I'm getting pimped by this temp in a jacket from Optima staff. Laughing, sit up, clown, don't talk to me like that. Nigga, stupid, of course, living day by day. And you ain't hard trick, hell you say.
It's such a blessing when my eyes get to see the sunrise. I'm ready to begin. Another chance to get further away from where I've been, but I never forget. Everything I went through, I appreciate this. Because if I had a win and took the ease away, wouldn't be the strong that I am today. Everything that I did, different things I was told, just ended up being food for my soul.
Get your soul.
That's right. Matthew had mentioned more than a million people gather here in Times Square every evening. That's right. Matthew had mentioned more.
Sunday morning. I'm on 1365, Wichita Drive, on Bird, we're in a stove ride. Church to drop a ticket, and yesterday's group, then came together with this car to make it. Last night, hanging over from a good time. Yeah, beef is cheaper, but it's pump with red dot between
two. This one's done. Red.
Started to look good with them hairy legs. Wish I could color up, but my stomach come before sex. A house full of, no, what's the ingredient? Spaghetti plus.
They know they're making it hard on the yard. Chris Darden. Marshall Claw, taking us what we get in the spotlight for a joke. Change it by the day, I see it's getting bigger in my square. Bigger than Linux from the outside with the stair. No money to go inside, Tamika and Tiffany outside. Tripping and skipping rope to the beats from my Jeep. As I speak, what's up from the drama?
A heap of help on the fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, and collard greens too big for my jeans. Smoke steams from under the lid that's on the block. Ain't never had a lot, but thankful for the little that I got. Why not me? Fast food got me feeling sick. They slick by trying to make this food affordable. I thank the Lord that my voice was recordable.
See, it's what I write, and Miss Lady acting like we in jail. Says she ain't got no extra hush puppets to sell. Bankhead seafood, making me hit the door with a mind full of attitude. It was a line at the beautiful JJ's Rib Shack was packed too. Looking to be one of them days when mama ain't cooking. Everybody's out hunting with the family, looking for a little soul food.
Come and get your soul food.